from the original cast of the Tony Award-winning musical Hamilton, Jasmine Cephas-Jones, Renee Elise Goldsberry, and Philippa Sue.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, shed his grace and crown thy good with brotherhood and sisterhood. From sea to shining sea, from sea to shining sea, to shining sea.
Welcome to Today on Broadway for Monday, February 6, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
James, we're taping a little late because, as you indicated with your intro music, we had the Super Bowl on Sunday night. Not exactly the outcome that I was hoping for, but at least we got the Skylar sisters singing, which we'll talk about a little bit more here in a minute. And also Lady Gaga did a pretty darn good job as well.
Yeah, it was really strange because Skylar sisters started it off, and then some people did something in between, and then Lady Gaga came on and did this awesome thing, and then those people came back and did the other thing. I was like, we all left after Lady Gaga.
Well, there's, you know, a lot of versions of the same joke going around on Twitter. You know, there should be a 5-minute football game in, you know, during intermission of musicals. Yeah. Well, speaking of which, though, when is Lady Gaga going to come to Broadway? Like, that just seems like such a perfect fit.
Yeah. Did you and I talk about that before?
James, we've been doing this now for like 10 and a half months. I have no idea what we've talked about at this point.
No idea. But yeah, I think that it's just that the numbers don't work. You know, she can just make so much more money doing other things. But
it works for Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So do you – I sort of remember last year that – who was the headline act last year? Was it Katy Perry or who?
I don't know if that was last year or not. It might have been Katy Perry, maybe Bruno Mars. I don't remember who was last year. I mean, I can't remember if Left Shark was a year ago or 2 years ago.
Oh, that was a couple years ago. Yeah. Somebody else was last year. But I think that starting last year, the halftime performer paid to be on halftime. Do I remember that correctly?
No, that was something that the NFL had said might be something they wanted to do, and then everyone else said, "You're absolutely ridiculous. We're not doing that." But last year was Coldplay, which is probably why we don't remember it, because who the hell cares about Coldplay?
Yeah, this is true, except for Gwyneth Paltrow.
I don't know. Maybe not anymore.
Not anymore. That's right. Apple. All right. So let's get to the Broadway portion of our thing. First up, Jake Gyllenhaal and Annaleigh Ashford, Sunday in the Park will not be Tony eligible.
Yeah, this is something that you guys talked about on This Week on Broadway. But for those of you that haven't listened to that, I did want to kind of let you know about this. On Friday, in a move that was, I would say, pretty universally shocking, the producers of the upcoming Sunday in the Park with George revival announced that they would not be entering the show for Tony consideration in the 2017 season. The statement from the producers reads, "The producers of Sunday in the Park with George will not be submitting Hudson Theater's engagement of this New York City Center production for awards eligibility. With a season so full of tremendous, soon-to-be long-running new musicals and revivals, the producers feel this extremely limited special run of Sunday stands most appropriately outside of any awards competition. The production is nevertheless proud to be part of such a landmark Broadway season." Now, of course, that seems all, you know, generous and, oh, we don't think it's appropriate, blah, blah, blah. And there's plenty of conspiracy theories online, on Twitter, on message boards. But to me, James, this is pretty obvious that this is just because they don't want to give away the comp tickets for Tony voters. I mean, that's what it seems like to me in a 10-week limited run. They don't want to give up House seats to people who aren't going to pay for them if they already are going to have a tough time and probably have very little chance of breaking even, even if they don't give away the tickets.
Yeah, you know, I talked about that on This Week on Broadway with Peter and Michael, and Peter is very upset about this decision, and he thinks that he wouldn't be surprised that if it got reversed sometime this week, that you know, his argument being that that there's a lot of very good talent up on that stage. Both from producing and from a directing and from the cast itself, that these people are going to miss an opportunity to be eligible, and that Annalee Ashford certainly could get a nomination, if not win this category. So he's very upset about it, and he said, you know, a lot of other shows, they all do the Tony thing and give away the 1,400, 1,500 tickets that go along with the Tony voters. There's 700 some odd Tony voters, and each one of them gets two tickets. And they are two prime seats. It's not that they're sticking them in.
Right, they're not rear mezz.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but the one thing to consider is this is an extremely limited run, 10 weeks only. The Hudson Theater, as we've talked about, is not even 1,000 seats. So, I mean, I would imagine that, and I know this has kind of been hinted at or speculated about, but I would imagine even running at full capacity for those 10 weeks, I think it's going to be tough for them to break even without giving away the tickets. So if they were to give away those 1,500 seats of premium house tickets, ticket prices, like I would imagine they have no shots. I mean, I just have to think this is a dollars and cents thing. I would imagine that Jake Gyllenhaal had to approve this before it was done. Because I can't imagine they just, you know, sucker punched him with this and, hey, you're not going to get a Tony nomination because we want to make some money. So I'm assuming he has to approve this. And I don't know Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean, we're pen pals on email, but from people that I know who have been around him when he was on Broadway and done the City Center stuff, and then also, you know, the rumors you hear from his film career is he is about the anti-diva. He's just a very down-to-earth guy. He grew up in the business. Is, you know, pretty much everybody in his family is in Hollywood. He's just a guy that's just like a workman-like artistic guy. So I don't think he's really doing this for the money or for the awards. But if you're going to make a big change like this, I would have to imagine that you're above the title mega superstar had to be consulted.
Yeah, and the other aspect of it is that it takes a lot of pressure off of everybody if they're stepping back and saying we're not going to be Tony eligible. So they've had a very short rehearsal period, and if there is no losing face if you don't get nominated or not win the prize, maybe it takes pressure off of everybody else, and they could just focus on selling out these 10 weeks and having the best time possible.
Yeah, and also if they're not, you know, it's not just the awards. It means if they're not eligible for Tony Awards, they're not going to those 5 gazillion, you know, nominee brunches and meet and greets and all of these things. And then, you know, if they're not eligible for, I mean, this thing doesn't actually mention the Tony Awards. It's just saying awards eligibility. So they're not going to submit themselves for drama desks, for, you know, any of these other things. So it's not just saying, hey, we don't want to be eligible for the Tonys. It's saying we're not going to these gazillion events. And keep in mind that the show is scheduled to close before the Tony nominations are even announced. So it's not like they would even get a bump from these things. So, you know, between that and, you know, they spend money on Tony campaigns too, with sending out, you know, the appropriately approved goodies to Tony voters and whatever specific advertising and direct marketing they want to do. So it's a money saver, it's a time saver, it's a stress saver, like you said, and it's a face saver if they don't get the nominations they'd hoped for.
It's definitely unprecedented, as we talked about on This Week on Broadway. Let's move on to Moulin Rouge! Plans spring reading in New York.
What is it with musicals putting the exclamation point as part of their name? Like, well, Oklahoma,
I'm glad it's not Moulin Rouge! The musical, you know.
Well, it actually is Moulin Rouge! Exclamation point, the musical. So they put the exclamation point in the middle, but I wasn't going to do that to you. But anyway, yes, we talked about this before. Baz Luhrmann's 2001 Oscar-nominated film Moulin Rouge! Has long been one of the prized properties that Broadway fans were hoping would eventually make a stage adaptation. And last year, we told you that Baz Luhrmann and his production company were looking to bring that to Broadway. And now we know that Tony Award winner John Logan will be has written the book, and Alex Timbers is going to be directing the show. And they'll be holding equity-only auditions on February 17th for the role of Santine, which is played by Nicole Kidman in the film. They will be doing a reading of the show from April 24th through May 5th in Manhattan. The roles of Christian, Deleuze-Lautrec, Ziegler, and Argentinian have already been cast. So this is exciting. This is moving forward. A lot of times when we hear about movie adaptations for things, it takes a while for these to get going. But it sounds like they are much closer to making this a reality than I probably anticipated, James.
Yeah, that's exciting. I know that at the time, Moulin Rouge was a very popular film among many folks in the Broadway set. And Baz is incredibly visual and a great director. So I'm looking forward to this.
When this announcement came out, there was a lot of Broadway folks tweeting their willingness to be considered for the roles, so to speak.
All right. Next up, Yen extends into March at MCC.
Yeah, after the reviews came out last week for MCC's production of Anna Jordan's new play, Yen, the theater company announced a pretty good 2-week extension for the show. It was originally scheduled to close on February 19th, and it is now scheduled to run through March 4th. The show stars recently Oscar-nominated actor Lucas Hedges alongside Ari Grainer, and it got really good reviews. I don't think we talked about him on the show, James, but you and I kind of talked about him a little bit. We talked about the show's opening, but this seems to be like the first good off-Broadway big-ticket item. And I know you weren't going, but did Peter or Michael go see this at all? Do you know?
Peter reviewed it on This Week on Broadway, and Michael is going this week. The big takeaway from this is that Peter thought it was great, and that Justice Smith, who plays one of the other boys, steals the show. Peter says he's a star, and so we should keep our eye on Justice Smith as well as Lucas Hedges. But it seems that Lucas is getting his due right now, and especially with the Oscar nomination. I'm surprised that the extension isn't much longer than March, with folks flocking to see Lucas Hedges.
Well, it's one of those things where one extension does not mean that's going to be the only extension. Yeah, right. We see off-Broadway theater companies extend multiple times, so I wouldn't be surprised if these extra 2 weeks do pretty well, especially since the Academy Awards happen at the in between that extension, that if he shows up there, and I don't expect him to win the Academy Award, but if he gets a little bit of extra publicity out of it, and maybe they extend a little bit farther into March.
Okay, let's go into this week's theatrical schedule.
James, this is, if you remember in January, we often said, there's not a lot going on. Now is when a lot of things start to go on. So I'm just going to run through the basics of them. In the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com, we will have a link to every show I mention's official page. So if you want more information, go over there and get it. First up, tomorrow, the 537th Broadway revival of The Glass Menagerie begins previews, of course, starring Sally Field, no S. Remember, there is no S on the end of her name. Joe Mantello, Finn Wittrock, and Madison Ferris. Also on Tuesday, Linda begins previews off-Broadway at the Manhattan Theater Club. It is a new play by Penelope Skinner and directed by Lynn Meadow. On the Exhale also begins off-Broadway previews on Tuesday. That is over at the Roundabout Underground. It's the one-woman show that we've mentioned before, starring Maren Ireland from playwright Martin Zimmerman and directed by Lee Silverman. Also on Tuesday, busy night on Tuesday, Will Eno's new play Wakey Wakey begins previews at the Signature Theater, starring Michael Emerson and January Lavoie. Then on Wednesday, David Mamet's new play The Penitent begins previews off-Broadway at the Atlantic Theater Company. Then on Thursday, after the probably, I would imagine, the one of the shortest shortest preview periods in Broadway history. The first Broadway revival of Sunset Boulevard officially opens, starring Glenn Close. Of course, we talked about it last week. We will have all of the reviews for that one on Thursday night's show. Then on Saturday, the aforementioned Sunday in the Park with George, starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Annaleigh Ashford, begins previews on Broadway over at the Hudson Theater. And then on Sunday, closing out the week, Dave Malloy's new musical Beardo, which we haven't really talked a whole lot about, but seems interesting. Maybe we'll talk about it as we get closer. That officially opens off Broadway. It's being produced by the Pipeline Theater Company at St. John's Lutheran Church. James, have you heard much about this one? I've got their website up and kind of looking at it. It's not one of those well-known theater companies. It's not necessarily one of those go-to theater venues, but knowing Dave Malloy's past with some of his other shows, including Great Comet, I guess that's probably not a surprise.
I have not heard of Pipeline Theater Company, and Dave marches to his own drum, so certainly I'm looking forward to whatever he does, especially when he takes over for Josh Groban in Great Comet.
Yeah, which is something he's going to do this summer. The description for Beardo reads, Beardo is a Russian indie rock musical from the outrageous minds that brought us Beowulf and Natasha Perry in the Great Comet of 1812. Beardo explores the mad inner workings of Rasputin, the infamous mystic who sexted his way to the fall of the Russian monarchy. I mean, I guess he's sticking with things he knows, weird Russian indie rock musicals. So it worked with Great Comet. Let's hope it works with Beardo as well.
maybe they could put Anthony Weiner into it.
Oh, man.
He's free. He's got no job, as far as I know.
And probably never will again.
Yeah. I wonder how people make it. How do they live day to day after a train wreck like that?
Who knows?
All right. So wrapping up the Skylar Sisters, as we talked at the top of the show, they slayed it at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they really did. It was a really fantastic thing. There's a lot of really cool things going on in there. They sang America the Beautiful. And at the beginning, they started very traditional, very melodic, and weren't doing anything. And then about after the first verse or so, they started to do that patented Skylar Sisters harmony where they were all over the place doing really cool intervals. Alex Lacamoire was part of their rehearsal process and really helped them. There's videos of on social media about them doing this. It was really cool. At the end, there were two really cool moments. Jasmine Cephas Jones did a slight edit of the lyrics. A lot of people took note of on social media, so definitely listen to that. And there was also a fairly familiar riff towards the end of that of their rendition that it, I have a feeling that Hamill fans might have recognized. So it's definitely really cool. And what was also cool is that they were introduced as the Skylar Sisters from the original Broadway cast of Hamilton. And then they gave their names, but it wasn't just, hey, here's three actors. It's these are the Skylar Sisters. I think that's awesome. And to have such a platform like that, James, for three Broadway actors being known for their Broadway roles. I don't know that that's happened since Carol Channing sang at the first halftime of the first Super Bowl, but that's pretty awesome. I was very, very touched by that. I had goosebumps through the whole thing.
Yeah, it's really exciting when we have that Venn diagram between Broadway and the National Football League. Doesn't happen often. Why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for starting your week off with us, and we'll be back and talk with you tomorrow.
Shine, may see, to shine.